A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Flags, I really want us to talk about how do you put yourself and your safety first.
Why is consent so difficult of a concept to grapple with?
Why should I go? I feel bad for him. This isn't his story. This is your story.
Do you think this man really thinks, oh, I feel bad for this
boy? A man that can put his hands on you. I'm so confused. A man who can put his hands on you or put his penis into somebody else or to do something that actually afflicts you. Do you know what an affliction is?
As in, you are so much more deserving and worthy of a safe and thriving environment with safe and thriving relationships. Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's episode, we are going to be waving goodbye to struggle love, toxic love, toxicity, bad people.
Glory.
And we're going to encourage you and empower you, hopefully, to put yourself first, sis. Put your safety, put your peace of mind first. And this episode was actually inspired by a dilemma. Well, a few dilemmas that we've gotten, but a dilemma we received at the live show. And then I was going through the dilemmas inbox, and let's just say a couple girls need this
episode. They're still struggling.
A couple girls need this episode. And you know what? Empathy and love, because it could be you at any time. It could be you at any time. So before we get into it, as you can tell, we look refreshed. We look.
We have slept.
We have done our hair.
That's always the key indicator.
And that is an indication of what the live show happened. Sisters, shout out to you guys for helping us make history. We sold out Hackney Empire here in London. We had a sold out shut down event. Literally 1,200 people came out, friends, family, supporters.
Potentially even
foes, but thank you for your ticket money. We literally had a packed out event, and we are so grateful.
Honestly,
it was a overwhelming success.
Incredible.
We even went over time a little bit, but that's how you know the event was good.
Incredible.
But yeah, it was amazing.
No, we had such a good time, honestly. Sisters, thank you so much for your support. Even those of you that weren't able to come down, for sharing the event, for sharing the link to friends that were able to come down. Shout out to all the sisters that traveled down to the live show. I was hearing sisters coming from America to come and watch this show. And shout out to our wonderful panelists and our wonderful hosts. They absolutely smashed
it.
Sisterhood was in the building.
For real. People showed up and showed out. Miss Raquel from XV Events, our beloved events coordinator who we've worked with for the last 3 years. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Treasure Tress came through as our headline sponsor. Goodie bags for everybody. If you weren't in the room, then you didn't get the array of goodies that they brought us. Hair care stuff galore.
Listen, that's why we were even able to do our hair. Because we had hair care items from Treasure Tress. JBCO.
Oh, they came through. They did the dang thing. We had Rooker. We had Wooker. We had Holland and Barrett. So many brands just came out and really showed out to support. Blocks to Bags. I mean, all the supporters and the freelancers that came to make this happen. Alika on photography, O'Hara on BTS content, Ebon on stories. Like, just thank you all so much for all the hard work you put into it. Our friend Rebecca and all the supporting sisters who were there to like usher people in and just create the atmosphere of like friendliness. We're just so, so, so grateful. These shows can never be pulled off just by ourselves so we're just
grateful, thankful. We had community, we built community, we maintain community, and we are so, so grateful. And look, it's only up from here. Literally, we are so, so grateful. So thank you, sisters, from the bottom of our hearts. We are, I know we say this a lot, we're just getting started, but we're just getting started.
Honestly, year four, here we go.
Crazy.
And talking about Treasure Tress and sponsors and stuff, Treasure Tress has actually sponsored for us to do a pop-up meet and greet live show hybrid at their pop-up store in Birmingham. So tomorrow, on Thursday, actually, from when we're recording this, we're going to Birmingham. Now, you may be thinking, but I didn't hear of this. Not many people did before the tickets sold out. So we briefly, just mentioned it at the end of our live show. Just a little throwaway line. And then we just posted it on Instagram stories the next day thinking, you know, we've got a whole week to push this. Not too many tickets anyway. We don't need too long. 10 minutes later,
literally,
every single ticket was gone.
Cleared.
And so let it be known here that the girlies outside of London's show up and show out.
And the thing is, I know the Manchester ladies are side eyeing us. We know the babes from here, there,
and
guys,
everywhere.
It's small. But we appreciate you guys so much. You guys, literally, the first message that we received when that link went out was, "Hi guys, the tickets have sold out. Have you got any more?" I said, "Baby, I didn't even know it was tickets."
But also, this is great. Like, thank you so much, because I think as well for like small businesses like ours who are trying to grow, and even like Treasure Trust, this is a great proof of the fact that people show up to support stuff that they love.
Absolutely.
And so thank you so much for selling out those tickets so quickly. And it is proof that we can pull off outside of London shows. And so to the girls in Manchester, to the girls in Ireland, to the girls in Scotland.
Ireland.
This is, it is Ireland.
It's the way you snuck that in there.
But Ireland. How do you say it?
No, but it was the hard R, Ireland.
But how are you meant to say it?
Ireland.
But Ireland is I-S-L-A-N-D. No.
I get it, but you stuck in that R.
But it's Ireland.
Look, even the R.
Because that's how I say it. Anyway, to the girls in Ireland who are wanting us to come out there and just everywhere, this is proof that we can actually do it. Yeah. So hopefully when it is your city's turn, well, firstly, make it happen in your city. Get us a sponsor, us a community to plug into. But also, when we do show up to your city, show up and show out for us.
100%. We cannot wait. And the international girlies, please. Oh, step by step, we're trying. We're coming out to South Africa. Next on the map, we will be hitting up Cape Town and Johannesburg. Because I know the girls have been sending a flood and ton of messages. Where are you going in South Africa? It better be Cape Town. It better be Johannesburg. Well, let me tell you something. We come in a both.
It's both.
We are going to absolutely throw it down in both.
It's going to be a good time.
We're going to have so much fun. Yeah. Cannot wait.
But yes, in summary, our heart is full of so much gratitude. We can't wait for more opportunities to meet and mingle with you all.
100%.
Always keep your eye on that description box, because there's always stuff in there. But more importantly, keep your eye on our socials, because most likely that's where news is going to be disseminated first. So follow us everywhere at To My Sisterhood, and you may just get those exclusives and those perks. So without further ado, let us get into the ding
dilemma.
Let's go. Now I will actually give a trigger warning before this one for themes of abuse, domestic violence, etc. So if that is, you know that emotionally you're a bit tender at the moment, betterhelp.com. But also don't feel free to skip, timestamps are below. Hey Renee and Courtney.
Hey.
I've been married to a man who was once my Prince Charming for almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
Our love grew too strong, too fast, and we married within 3 months of dating.
Whoa.
I'm in my very early 20s and he is in his mid-30s.
Whoa.
He had a baby mama who he had separated with, but before they officiated their breakup, we started dating, which might have motivated him to end their relationship quicker. I wouldn't know, because he doesn't speak openly about his previous partners, out of respect, I think.
Okay.
So we have been having problems with trust in our marriage, because he is quite flirtatious on social media. He would allow me to have access to his phone in the first year of our marriage. Last year, we started doing long distance, and suddenly I was not allowed to go through his phone. This made me suspicious, because he was open about his struggle with flirting before, but now I felt like he was probably in a serious relationship with someone else. A few months ago, he started getting angry when he caught me going through his phone, and this one time he strangled me because of this. It was his first time being violent with me, but after that, we had two more arguments not related to his phone. This one time, he kicked me across the face when I confronted him about not posting me on my birthday as he used to. Most recently, he pushed me to the floor when I didn't want to give him the remote to watch a football game. Mm-hmm. I told him I want to leave him because I don't want my future kids to grow up in an abusive home. And I have a bright future ahead of me. I don't want to risk being stuck in an abusive marriage. At the same time, I feel bad because I low-key feel like I made him break up with his baby mama. Can our problems be fixed? Should I stay? Please help a devastated young lady.
Oh, babe.
Sis.
You too, I'm devastated, child. I am so, so sorry to hear that entire experience, that entire relationship. I think you know where your heart is on the matter. And I think even the way that this dilemma was worded, it's almost giving, I need some confirmation or I need some kind of validation with my decision. But I think you know in your heart of hearts what kind of direction you want to go. Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, you guys got married relatively quickly. And I think with the age gap and the difference in experience, so not even just the age gap, but the combination of the difference in experience, him being in a serious relationship with somebody else and also having a child, being in his mid-30s, in combination and in tandem with you, very early 20s, still really young and still trying to, you know, we tend to, you might be more mature, but I'm guessing that you're probably still trying to figure things out, still in the process of maturation, still in the process of growing into the woman that, you know, you were called to be. I think that combination with a relatively short dating, courting period and getting married within 3 months, alarm bells are ringing, sis. It's really, really, it's really giving predatory to me. And I personally would advise not to stay in that situation just because, A, there's that like predatory nature, but also the consistency around the abuse that you've been experiencing as well. It's not just like a one-off. And also the fact that he actually strangled you for going through his phone. I think that that is very much indicative of there are some underlying anger issues or some things that he needs to deal with, especially being at that age and especially being a caretaker. It's even more important that he has the self-control and the emotional discipline to not get so defensive and angry. And then for him to also have that reaction in response to a legitimate concern around fidelity, the red flags are flagging. Like they are it's giving.
This isn't even red flags. Yeah, sis, these are sirens. You get out of there.
You must.
No longer short of it.
You must go. And I know that you can feel quote unquote blame about being the reason why he decided to leave his baby mother or his previous relationship. By the end of the day, this is a grown man who is actually a lot more grown than you and should be able to take responsibility and accountability for his own decisions. If he decided to be with you, again, and this is not to say that, you know, I'm not too sure in terms of the context around whether you knew he was still in a relationship with his baby mother.
I think she did.
Okay, well, you have to hold that corn, sis, because you really shouldn't. We have a rule already at the sisterhood that you don't touch what is not yours. So I think
he spun her the line of we're breaking up, like we're in the phase of breaking up kind of thing.
But even then, you need to wait until I think.
Oh no, I'm not condoning it. Yeah. I'm just clarifying. I'm just clarifying the situation.
Just to let you know.
I'm gonna go steal someone's man. It was more of a, he's told me he's breaking up with her, for sure.
And I think obviously this guy's a little bit more predatory, but you still do need to take accountability for the fact that you didn't have confirmation that they had broken up before you pursued a relationship with him. And then the fact that you guys decided to get married within 3 months, the red flags are very much flagging, not just on his part, but a little bit on your part too, sis. It's not something that you should shoulder the blame for entirely. Again, it's a decision that both of you decided to make. So in terms of the guilt around ensuring that that family is taken care of, that kid and, you know, the previous relationship, that is very much on his shoulders, especially right now. My instinct is to leave, sis. I can't lie to you. You're in a very good position. You're still very, very young. And from what we've heard so far, there's no kids involved. And I think that would actually make it a lot more difficult in terms of just having a lot more to just a lot more responsibility, and also the stakes would be a lot higher. Mm-hmm. But yeah, genuinely, it feels as though you're in a very unsafe situation, emotionally, mentally, physically, literally the whole, you gotta go. Yeah. It's giving, you gotta go.
Yeah.
And it may be a bit of a difficult process to extricate yourself, depending on, you know, how much this relationship has taken prevalence for you. So just in terms of like community, I don't know if you have like friends or family around you to support you during this process. I don't know if you have like a safe place to go to. I'm assuming that you two live together, but it really is now about thinking about what is the sequencing of events of extricating yourself from this situation. So does it look like temporarily going to your friend's house or a family member's house, especially with the lack of safety? Does it look like having to draw on some other resources, i.e. domestic violence, helplines? It might actually look like that. But I think the priority right now is ensuring that you are safe and actually in a safe place, and then starting that process of removing yourself from the situation entirely. And if that does look like a divorce, of course, nobody ever really gets married with the intention of getting divorced, right? Nobody, well, very few people at least, go into a marriage thinking I'm going to get divorced or like I want this relationship to end. But the priority really should be on making sure that you are safe, and making sure that you are in an environment where you have relationships that will actually thrive. So I'm so sorry to hear that this has been your experience, especially being so young. But I think this guy, from all intents and purposes, all of the descriptions that we have heard so far, is really roaring predatory, and you need to run away ASAP, and make sure that you are in a safe location, a safe space before starting that process of removing yourself from that situation. And also thinking practically, I don't know what, you know, the financial setup is and all of that kind of stuff, but again, thinking practically about that. But yeah, I think you have some very, very valid reasons to leave. I think one of the central tenets of a relationship is always going to be trust. So even the switch up in
behavior
is such a big red flag, especially when it comes to a covenant relationship. A marriage is literally centered on consistency, honoring the values that you share in a marriage and in a relationship. And I think especially when you are in a situation like a long distance relationship, you would want to do even more to ensure that you are clinging onto that relationship, or that relationship is still functioning and working. And it seems as though this is going to quickly descend into an even more abusive or potentially harmful relationship. So yeah, that would be my advice. Is you gotta leave,
girl. Get up out of there.
Get up out of there.
The advice would even still be the same, though. Obviously, we'd understand, like you said, more responsibilities and harder decision to make. And if you had kids, if you were older, blah blah blah. But the advice would still be the same.
Get up
out of there. I think exactly what you said. Red flags are get the hell out of the way. I think The thing that made this dilemma interesting when I read it was when you said, I feel bad. This man doesn't feel bad about punching you, kicking you, throwing you to the ground, strangling you. This thing has happened repeatedly. Nobody's son, no one anywhere has the right to put their hands on you and you have to feel bad or like you owe them something by staying. You got to get out of there. You do not owe this man anything. You owe this man being his wife, being with him in a relationship, and you did that and he abused it and he abused you by abusing you. So get up and leave. Literally just get up and leave. And I know it sounds, it's easier said than done. But I love what you brought up about community, especially when you're young and you're dating someone who is a lot older. A lot of the tactics that can take place are isolation and getting you to be by yourself. And I really hope that wherever you are, whether you're the one who moved away or whatever, you have found community there who you can rely upon, and that you have a certain degree of independence or at least ability to provide for yourself. Even if it's life may not look as good financially or whatever as when you were married, still take it, because it's worth maybe bringing down your lifestyle a little bit but having your safety and peace of mind. I would also make other people aware of this situation. Like, thank you so much for sending us this dilemma, but because we're not in your family or close to you, we can't come and pluck you from wherever it is you are. I think you need to, you know, there is no shame in this. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
You need to pluck up the courage and the boldness within yourself to tell somebody else that isn't us, that is someone who can actually make a change in your life. And that could be your parents, your guardians, family members, siblings, friends, whoever it is, someone who can come in and kind of stand in the way and be like, no, you know, this situation is over. And I know no one can force you to make a choice, but to me it sounds like you've already made up your mind. You know you want to leave. You know you don't want to be in this situation. You know that this is wrong and it's harmful towards you, but the only thing keeping you back is some kind of pseudo guilt that is, well, he broke up with his baby mama for me. Baby girl, the man is cheating on you.
Oh, crazy.
He's cheating on you, or he's being so flirtatious and finding other people to talk to, or he has something that he's hiding from you, which is potentially another woman. I don't say this to sound harsh, but the same way he found you whilst he was with his baby mama, he'll find someone else because he has been finding other people whilst he's been with you, his wife. And so don't feel bad or guilty that, oh, he left his baby mama for me. He'll find someone else. Trust me, he will find someone else. And our prayer can only be that once he finds that person, that he would have done the deep work necessary, or at least somebody would have shaken something out of him for him to treat them better. But as for you, and as for this situation right now, this isn't conducive for you to stay. It's not conducive for your happiness, your wellness, your survival. And so it's time to cut a loss and keep it moving. You are too precious, and you are too special for somebody who wants affirm that and acknowledge that to now treat you like you are nothing and like they can just intimidate you or belittle you and just abuse you. And abuse is never anything to be taken lightly. And the same way he did it once, he'll do it again. He did it twice, he'll do it again. He's done it a third time. How many more times are you gonna wait before you're like, actually, you're abusing me makes me feel worse than how guilty I'd feel for leaving you because you left your baby mom. His baby mom is still there somewhere. He can go and rekindle that. He can go and focus on other things. You do not need to be this man's focus at the moment, unless he wants to focus on you with clarity and sound mind. And right now, it feels like this man is not operating from a place of sound mind or good heart. I think that's what you deserve. So, yeah, pack your bags and be going.
He needs to go to therapy.
You're thinking he even needs to go and see that kid. He needs to go to therapy. Or he needs to go to the police station.
I was about to say it's jail time. Really.
Someone needs to call somebody. It's either BetterHelp or it's police.
Strangle a babe for looking at your phone that you've been hiding. Strangle.
And these are the things. With abusive situations as well, these are the things that lead on from each other.
Exactly.
You know, it's secrecy, it's isolating, or it's, you know, like you said, power imbalances within your relationship, which then lead to, oh, now I'm going to just treat you however. Or like you said, a deep set anger issue manifests in such a violent way. And I think when you see somebody show you even the earliest signs of that, you need to be distancing yourself. Not necessarily because you're trying to abandon the person, but I'm sorry, you can't put yourself in harm's way.
No.
And I see so many women doing that. And I guess this is, sis, thank you so much for even trusting us with this dilemma.
Honestly.
But her absolute prayer, oh, finally, if this happens again, please, I beg you in the name of God, not only should you run away, call the police. And I know police isn't reliable everywhere. I don't know where you're sending this dilemma in from. Police are not reliable everywhere, especially when it comes to domestic issues like this. However, somebody needs to hold this man accountable.
100%.
And so whether it's going to be the law or it's going to be, you know, whoever he came, whatever house he collected you from to get married, you need to go and tell your parents, his parents, somebody somewhere needs to hold this man accountable to his crimes. Because what he's doing to you is a crime.
It's a criminal. But what is a man in his mid-30s with a baby mother? Let's not even use the term baby mother because it's so derogatory. Yeah. But with somebody that's actually the mother of your child and a child doing with a babe that has just turned shy of 20.
Looking for somebody to manipulate. That's what they're doing. They're looking for somebody to manipulate. And I think it's very necessary, especially in times where there's a lot of conversations around dating and stuff. And there's a lot of like incel culture, all of these male podcasts and like toxic male podcasts. Obviously not every man with a podcast is toxic, but all of these podcasts where men are saying this is how a woman should be and this is how you should treat a woman and you don't owe a woman this, you don't owe a woman that, so I think predatory. Are inciting a lot of predatory behavior, a lot of abusive, manipulative, controlling behavior as well, which makes men, I guess, certain groups of men who are susceptible to that already, mm-hmm. because of a level of brokenness, believe that it is okay to inflict violence on a woman because she is dehumanized in their eyes, right? And so I think it's important to have a conversation around leaving toxicity, because our audience is the women. So as much as we can sit here and talk about, like, you know, commentary on why that is and why that's wrong, most men aren't going to hear this podcast. But the ladies who are listening to this podcast can not only spot those red flags in their brothers and the men in their lives, mm-hmm. and kind of, I really want to encourage you guys to have the boldness to sit them down and be like, you're moving like a dickhead. Like, this is not normal.
This is not normal. It is not right.
It's harmful.
It's abusive. And it's predatory.
It's predatory, and you're on the brink of becoming a criminal. Listen, and I will report you for
at 110%. It's this narrative of men appreciating in value as they age, but the reverse being true for women. It is so gross.
Yeah. But also this savior complex, and it's not new. Like, as much as I've just like talked about internet content and stuff like that, this is not new.
No.
This kind of thing, even nothing the dynamic described in this podcast, there are actually a million Nollywood films already about this specific dynamic. So I'm just like that to be known.
These old men.
This is not new, but in the themes of like the conversations that are happening online, this kind of behavior can become rampant, mm-hmm. and nobody call people up on it, because we're all being brainwashed to believe that it is okay and women should just kind of shut up and be grateful for the fact that in a marriage in the first place. Absolutely not. I am so, so sorry. That's not going to work. So the first part of this is to preface by, if you see your man, or your, not even your man, if you see your boys moving mad, it's time to call up. It's time to call
them up.
I know we've talked about this before, how like men tend to not like accountability when it comes from women, but still hold your boys accountable and then get their boys to hold them accountable. 100%. Get their fathers to hold them accountable. Get the elders of the church. Get whoever
every elder in society. Even that is so frustrating, right? It's like, oh, we don't want to be held accountable. Well, don't be abusive. Like, when it comes to something like abuse, it's so frustrating, because why is it that you can only hear from a specific demographic, your own demographic, that what you're doing is actually morally wrong?
Yeah.
It's not even,
but
like,
even that, you wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't hear it. Do you get what I mean? You'll do the noddings and stuff, but you'll never probe change.
No, hey, bro.
Do you get what I mean? Because the thing is accountability is so much more than the, I've identified this problem. It's also us having enough proximity and you having enough respect for me to be like, checked. Oh, actually, now I have to change my behavior because this person is watching me. Do you get what I mean? And so I think even when men are exposed to accountability, it's usually just, oh, bro, I'm sorry. Like, you know how it gets. But then there's no journeying. Do you get what I mean? There's no monitoring of repentance, if it can even be described that way, because there's a lack of proximity, and a lack of vulnerability to show not just a weakness, but just that behind the scenes of you. There's not enough closeness to other men or women apart from your romantic partner to show what happens behind closed doors. But again, the audience of this podcast, unfortunately, is not men, and we need men to really rise up to be able to do that work. But on the flip side of this then is women who may find themselves in an abusive situation, find themselves seeing their friend in an abusive situation, or who are just dating and you need to start spotting some red flags.
Wake up, girl.
I really want us to talk about, how do you put yourself and your safety first, in not the, oh, self-love, I deserve, selfish. No. As women, we do so much of this sacrificial lamb, where it's like, no, to keep him happy, to keep the home.
No. I want you to say no, because it's not even just abusing the fullest term and the fullest extent of abuse, but it can even spread to emotional abuse. It can spread to sexual abuse. I was having a conversation with one of financial abuse, people that just hold the purse strings across the board, right?
Spiritual, it's because ridiculous. Some of you pastors are acting a bit, and your congregations are mostly female. So we also need to talk about this dynamic of power imbalances and the way people abuse power, and how we as women just sit there and we take it.
CDB.
That's my
initials. We're going there today. We are going there today. There is something so insidious about the fact that people take advantage of women congregating together. Yeah. Even when I was having this conversation with somebody, even yesterday, talking about the fact that even when it comes to content that is consumed and it is created by men around like relationships and stuff like that, the primary consumer is women.
Yeah.
It is insidious how these people are able to profit, how these people are able to build platforms, how these people are able to validate all forms of abusive and manipulative behaviors, because they are taking advantage of the fact that women are in a position where we tend to consume a lot more. Mm-hmm. We are the sacrificial lambs.
Yeah, and we have a desire to make things better.
I want to fit this whole idea of like, oh, creating safe spaces and all that kind of stuff. It's not just on us to create those safe spaces. We have to demand it from other people, especially those that are unwilling to respect us. Yeah. It's not just about creating fortitude for ourselves. It's actually demanding what we deserve from other people. And that's the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, and putting our foot down and being bold enough to leave when something is unsafe. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes we're denied that agency, where it's like, okay, now we deny ourselves that agency as a response, which is this situation is unsafe. We do the work around expectations, we do the work around standards, we think we're dating right.
Insane.
Then, you know, spanner out of the works, this man is cuckoo crazy.
A little bit
cocoa for cocoa puffs. A little bit. And we're like, oh, I can't leave because I've already, you know, I've come too far in that sunk cost fallacy of I put too much in, and now you're just going further and further into the negative. Or, oh, why should I go? I feel bad for him.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This isn't his story. This is your story.
Do you think this man really thinks, oh, I feel bad for this
boy? A man that can put his hands on you. I'm so confused. A man who can put his hands on you or put his penis into somebody else or to do something that actually afflicts you. Do you know what an affliction is?
As in,
can do something that afflicts you. You think that man has this same level of deep, deep care? And I don't care the narratives people are spinning on other corners of the internet about I can cheat and still care.
Men are built different.
I can cheat and still respect
you. You're built faulty.
Okay, that's fine. But what you're proving is
stupid.
You can abuse trust. You can abuse trust. You can violate covenant. You can violate promises. Therefore, you can violate me,
it's
and you can abuse
that,
me.
It's the fact they will say, I can do this and do. No. When you're in covenant, there is no and. The greatest expression of that covenant is upholding the covenant.
100%. So this whole, and this isn't just marriage covenant as well. Because I think when you throw that word, people are like, this is why we don't like marriage. This is why we don't like commitment.
We're not married anyway.
There's a thing called the covenant of your word.
Jeez.
When you speak a word, if you do not live up to it, what do we call it? Lack of integrity.
It's called lies, baby.
It's God being a liar.
You like to lie and it's not good.
Stop it. Like, honestly, stop it. It's not good for your character. It's not good for your soul. And as much as you'll also say like, oh, but you know, we don't care, those things don't have consequences, these are the things that lead men
they
to
do.
Jail. Now, these are the things that lead men to jail. I'm just saying it.
Behind bars, baby.
I'm just saying it.
For a long time.
And I need more of us to become stitches to the popo.
Oh, and
but
this
then,
is it.
Even when you say that, it's like my mind goes to the structural inequalities that already exist.
Absolutely.
Which mean that oftentimes women are punished for even being honest about what it is that's happened to them, you know. Women are going through way too much, but this is for the small percentage of that too much that can be changed by us just saying, I don't want to remain in an unsafe environment.
Right. It needs to be a partnership of the interpersonal and the institutional. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As much as we can wait on the institutions and legislative changes, that really makes a difference. We have to take and reclaim that agency in our everyday interactions. Yeah, it starts with saying no. It starts with exiting.
It
starts with leaving.
And it's not even just saying no or leaving these when it gets to like these kind of dire situations. It's having the boldness to even say no and setting boundaries with friends, with colleagues at work, and just being like, actually, no, I don't like that. I don't like when you speak to me like that. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it doesn't mean you're fussy. And I think that's what a lot of people don't. You're so sensitive. Oh, you're so selfish. You're so self-centered. No. Yes, I am sensitive, actually.
I need to get in my skin.
I'm sensitive. I won't let you break me.
You want to strangle me.
I won't let you break me.
I have sensitive skin.
I will not let you break me. And I think that's what a lot of people are scared to say. Like, you're allowing people to break you because you don't even want to seem delicate. It's not about being delicate. It's about knowing that you are not, what they call, indestructible. Mm-hmm. You are not indestructible.
Far from
you
it.
Are a human being, sis. Far you are it. Tender. You are soft. People should handle you with care.
Everyday superwoman. Oh, I don't want to be
people super, should handle you
I
with care.
I don't want to have to be superwoman. Mm. I don't want to.
If only our mothers would also have let us know. To be fair, there were women in my life who told me, you know, you're delicate.
Must be
And that's why I feel
going.
Like if they would just switch that femininity content just a little bit, they'll be doing a good work.
110%. There's a popular phrase that my mother likes to use, which is, don't ever go from frying pan to open fire. There's so many of us that will end up in that open fire because we refuse to turn the stove down when we had the chance in the frying pan.
100%.
And now there's no frying pan, just open fire. And it's that, right? The being able to facilitate prevention rather than allowing yourself to get to the place where you need a cure for it now, right? Like, obviously, abuse is one of the most extreme manifestations of this in terms of like physical abuse. But I think of emotionally abusive patterns. I think of infidelity.
Yeah.
There's the small things that occur way earlier on within
crossing
a relationship.
Crossing a boundary. Failure to stick up to your word.
All of these kind of things where there are greater indications of the fact that this person is untrustworthy.
Yes.
But because of the catch 22 of being a woman in this society or within community, sometimes it can feel like I'm stuck here. Let me make the best of sunk cost fallacy, right?
Yeah.
And this is why when we say we're building not just a community, but an institution, it's institutions that you need to really back you and be like, sis, you got to get out, but also provide the support, also provide the context in which we can have these conversations in a safe manner, in a way that people feel seen and validated. Because so often women will experience abuse and then literally be invalidated the moment they speak out. When we think about things like sexual abuse, how often are folks actually convicted for it? How often are folks actually convicted for sexual abuse? And we've gotten to a place where, of course, definitely hear that there are folks that will levy false charges of sexual misconduct and whatnot. That is true. But what is also true is that there are alarming and disproportionate rates of people that actually do not know how to conduct themselves sexually. Why is consent so difficult of a concept to grapple with? Why is it hard?
Because abusing power
feels good.
It feels good and it is beneficial. Jeez. They call it a privilege.
Eey.
There we go.
Every day fighting consent, it's filthy,
it's actually horrible,
it stinks.
And I think more work needs to be done, like you said, on an interpersonal but also on an institutional level, to not only educate people but to hold people accountable to their actions. And sis, one thing I will say, start holding people accountable to their words and to their actions, even with the smallest things. Because there's this scripture which I absolutely love where it talks about how like controlling the tongue is like controlling the rudder on a ship.
Yep.
And when you look at the rudder on the ship, it's this tiny little thing that sits at the front of a ship, but it actually dictates the whole direction.
Absolutely.
And even when you look at a protractor or you look at navigation, if something is literally just 1 degree off, that can end up being hundreds and hundreds of miles the further off it goes. Do you get what I mean? Like when you're drawing an angle, that little point at the top, if it's not aligned properly, the longer you draw those lines, the further and further away they get from each other. And I think when we don't hold people accountable to the small things, you will inevitably see it enlarged in the big things. And this isn't necessarily to say, like, this isn't victim blaming and be like, you should have seen the signs and gotten yourself out. It's more so, if we don't hold people accountable to the small things that we are seeing in them, those kind of character flaws and bad behaviors will only amplify the more there's fuel added to the situation and to situations in general. And so somebody who cannot keep their word around certain things, like, and I'm not just talking like flippant things, you get what I mean? Because me, I've said that I'll start a diet for many times and then, ah, I've been losing weight, dude. Hello. I'm just saying, I've been keeping to my word. It's giving small, small something. But anyway, somebody who's like, oh, I'll do this for you. And then they don't come through.
Right.
And this is a repeated occurrence, oh, you said that you would do this. You didn't do that. You promised me that you would come through on this. You didn't do that. And they're just, you know, throwing it off as, okay, get over it.
No.
That is a deep, deep character flaw and a lack of integrity. Someone who can't keep their word, someone who's constantly violating your boundaries, somebody who invalidates your experience and your emotions and still professes that they care about you, let alone love you, is not somebody who's on track to actually love you right and love you well. And I think you need to prioritize in this stage of your life, wherever you are, whether you are 16 or 60, you need to prioritize in your life being around people who are going to love you well. No, life is not easy. Not everybody you're going to meet, you will get along with. Right. But it's everyone that you're in an intimate relationship with, you should get on with most of the time. And they should love you very well. So say goodbye to struggle love. Kill it. You've got to
say no. I practice with me as you're listening to this podcast. Just practice with me.
No
spells. No,
we don't want
we
it.
Don't
and
want
I want you to also.
It.
I want people to actually get into the habit because I think that has been the most empowering phrase in my life. I don't want it. I don't like it.
No,
that's why children learn that thing very early.
100%. When they say and you're trying to feed them, so,
no,
no, I don't want it.
No, I don't. I don't like it.
Be childlike.
Simple.
In be saying simple. No, just genuinely practice it because I think there are so many women that are actually suppressing the no's that they have to the point where they can't even recognize that it's a no. It's their body literally physiologically rejecting the situation that they're in.
Literally.
And one thing about your physiology is when you're going through a stressful situation and you're not allowing yourself to process it, trust me, baby, it's going to manifest in that physiology. It's going to manifest in the headaches. It's going to manifest in the dehydration. It's going to manifest in the hunched shoulders. It's going to manifest in the babe, are you okay? You're looking a bit tired and exhausted.
It's going to be the acne, the tension acne, in that neck.
Like, sis, no, I want you to say no. You are so much more deserving and worthy of a safe and thriving environment with safe and thriving relationships. I just,
it's a lot. It's a lot. It's very frustrating. And I think the thing that makes us a thing that makes us scared as well to say no is we're scared of the repercussions,
right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The consequences.
Let me tell you something. If you, and this is why community is so important. Me, Courtney Daniela Boateng, if I tell you I don't like something and you raise your hand to beat me, firstly, I'm 6 foot tall. I'm not gonna lie. I'll slap
I can
you
also confess.
I'm also violent.
Courtney, if you beat Courtney, Courtney,
I can also be violent. And something about me, especially my old life, fighting kind of excites me. Fighting kind of excites. Anyway, I battle already. Me, I'm built
babe
for
has
war.
Fought, babe has fought. Please,
me,
please,
I'm built
please,
for war.
Babe.
I get it from my mom. Just if you want to fight, we can even make it a spectacle.
If you whack us, we're gonna whack you.
Finish. Yeah, finish. Literally, but. If you did that, do you think me also being backed by my community who love me would allow that to even happen? Do you get what I mean? Stop approaching romantic relationships without community, right? Stop going into relationships unbacked by people. You need the support of people because as for me, I will go and report you to my mom. And I've just explained to you, if you think I'm bad, she's worse. She's even shorter than me. And I've taken blows. I've taken blows.
Worse, in fact.
She's worse.
Like, unfortunately for you folks out there. No. It is unfortunate. We have too many people that love us.
That's the thing.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate for you that I am loved.
Ah.
I am. And the thing is, I know I'm loved.
But this
you
is the thing.
You've got, you have to handle me with care.
And this is the thing though. There are a lot of women that either don't have
that
or don't actually live in that knowledge and understanding that they are loved.
And that's why you need to get your community right.
Get them
and you
right,
need to
baby.
Value doing community. Because when you know you are loved, I can't even explain it.
Listen,
when you know your love, the amount of confidence you go into situations with, knowing that even if the situation fails, okay, even if you go back home and you have to tell your parents, I'm getting a divorce, that love that comes from that environment, maybe mm-hmm, even not mm-hmm, from your parents, mm-hmm. but from your friends, 100%. From the community and the village you've built around you, should let you know, but this is not the end for me. And this doesn't have to mean failure for me. Mm-hmm. This is a liberation mm-hmm, for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that love, it receives you with open arms and it empowers you to know I can go in because of love. I can face giants. It doesn't matter how small, how big I am. Listen. Because I am loved.
Like genuinely guys, like you think I could hear somebody who's beating Courtney and not, we're bringing the matchsticks. Like we got to fight. Don't but we also recognize that that is a privilege. And yes. we know that there are people that have systems and villages which are subversive, right? Yes. We have people who will often validate the abuse yeah. that you're experiencing. There's a whole ton of people that live in cultures whereby the prominence or preeminence of mm-hmm. patriarchy and men means that they actively cannot escape the yeah. situation without also losing their and village.
They're encouraged to stay in it.
Listen, sis, as difficult as it is, sometimes it was actually based off of a sermon that I heard very, very recently at my church, which was out of the brokenness, God often gives birth to the most beautiful things. Yeah. And sometimes that brokenness, it really looks like breaking down all of the systems and yeah. all of the support that you have in order to birth something completely new. Yeah. Like in order to really transform that situation, you actually need to level the foundation because the actual foundation of that was wrong from yeah. the jump. And I know it's very, very difficult and it's very easy for us to sit up here and say, leave your community, leave your village, yeah. go and find a village. It's actually a hard process. The coming to the knowledge that we are loved, coming to a place where we have thriving relationships and friendships with the people around us has been hard.
Yeah.
Like it's not been plain sailing. It's not always been hunky-dory. It's not always been positive. Mm-hmm. But building that village, that community is so, so necessary. And it's yeah. necessary to do that work now just because it will make your life so much easier in the future. It's literally it's the investing season.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you don't have that right now, you're in a place where, you know, you're pursuing romantic relationships outside of community, yeah. you need to focus on your community first.
Yes.
You need to focus on building that ecosystem around you because without that ecosystem, all of the plants, all of the seeds that you're planting in your romantic relationships will never thrive. Yeah. Anyway, it's the ecosystem that really brings a plant into bloom. Yeah. So you will actually never see the beautiful flowers of that relationship anyway, because you don't have the right ingredients or the right environment to really see that thrive. Sis, build your ecosystem. Be part of other people's ecosystems as well. Check up on your sister. Who are you dating right yeah. now? Not just to get information, not just to do the whole gossipy mm-hmm. thing. Who is it that you're dating? Mm-hmm. And one thing I actually love about women is we care for each other's safety.
Yeah.
If my friend is going on a first date with some guy that I yeah. don't know from Adam, best believe I need that man's registration yeah. number. I need to know. He wants to put you in an Uber to where?
But it's just so sad because oftentimes we're doing that motivated out of fear mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I get what you mean.
Like, who is checking, like you really need to check up on your sisters. And obviously we're in a time where it's so easy to access people that are anonymous, right?
Right.
Back in the day, it was, oh, I'll refer you to this person and you can go out on a date right, with them. Right, or like right. you can get easy CRB checks. Now you can go on a social media app and somebody's DM'd you and wants to take you out. Someone will DM you and say, come to my house and also sisters, please do not go to that man's house if you don't know him from anywhere. Please, I am begging you for the love of God, don't go to that man's house. Mm. Like it's things like that where it's like making sure that you have a community around you, sisters, brothers, parental figures, people that can tell you, babe, this one, I would leave that one if I were you.
Mm.
But if you do want to pursue that one, here are the safety like measures that we're going to take.
Yeah.
Because it's important. Your safety, like your actual physical, your emotional safety, well-being, all of that stuff is nice. But your actual physical safety is important.
Literally.
And if you are entering into struggle love situations, obviously like, I feel like we're definitely entering into a time where we're just extracting information from people and not necessarily like sitting and listening to support and advise and stuff like that. If your friend is telling you about their new bae or new beau or whoever the person is, you need to demonstrate that you actually care for their well-being and safety. Do the CRB check.
Yeah.
And again, women tend to be very, very good at that, right? You'll send somebody their ad, check this person out. All of a sudden, they'll have a history of from their Facebook of 2006. Mm-hmm. it is necessary to not just build those ecosystems, but be a part of that ecosystem for other people, because it's reciprocated, baby. Yeah. We need to make sure that our ladies are safe out here. No big struggle facts. Love and no creeps, no predators, no stop.
Two things came to mind with that as well. It's I love that you brought this up, because it's not easy for everybody to just be like, I'm loved, I'm out of here. Because oftentimes you don't feel that affirmation or that support in your decisions. But unfortunately, I think one of the principles we've learned in life is sometimes the pursuit of freedom is one done alone. And you have to kind of embrace being an outcast for some time whilst you build a new like-minded people around you. And it does kind of create grief and create a sense of loss, but it does give birth to freedom. And the second thing is, if you are dating somebody and you are looking for that CRB check on them, find a way to quickly, especially before you commit a large chunk of yourself, bring them into your community. At least get them in the room. I know we're in the era of soft launches and kind
privacy.
I'm trying to keep this low key. Okay, that's fine. Social media doesn't need to know your business, but your in-person community should know your business.
Who is this
if
man?
You're saying you're surrounded by community, you're surrounded by accountability, and you have a village around you, they should know your business, right? And I know this whole low-key mysterious girl.
Nah, man. That's how people go missing.
That's exactly how people go missing. That's exactly how people end up hurt and no one knows around them what's going on. Invite people into your business and invite that man into your community. Do you want to come over and have dinner with me and my family, me and my friends? Do you want to just come and meet me at this, you know, social event? Some of my friends are gonna be there. Do you get what I mean? Let people just at least lay eyes on him to let him know she has eyes on her.
We need a description.
There we go.
Because if you have to go, if you do have to go to the feds, somebody needs to have
that's how your man will be chatting to someone at a bus stop and somebody will spot him like this.
And you know what?
Cut you in the act.
Listen, I was again having conversation with a friend and we were just talking about like values. We were talking about like, oh, for example, what would you do if you saw a friend's boyfriend or partner, you know, acting mad? And we were talking about a relatively recent situation where one of our friends or one of his friends and an acquaintance of mine, she's engaged, getting married, all that kind of stuff, and he spots her man moving mad with another babe in the early hours of the night. They locked eyes and he was like, in that moment I said, bit my loyalty is not with you. I need to go and tell my friends who I've cultivated a friendship with for a very long time that her man was misbehaving.
100%.
And that he went to do. That he went to do. I'm screaming. She said,
It's
make
necessary.
Sure you lock eyes on that man.
1,000%. And I'm not trying to, I don't want to be a homewrecker. People get, okay, even if it costs you your friendship, it costs her safety.
Listen.
But also, her being privy to that information doesn't necessarily mean they're going to break up.
Exactly.
No one's saying, go and tell the person now what they need to do based on this information. Just go and present the information.
There we go.
I saw your man in the early hours of the morning with a girl that wasn't you.
That's it.
I don't need to tell you what to do. I don't. That's now business that you go and you take and tell him I told you.
This whole, oh, it's not my business. If that's your friend.
If we're doing community and village,
your friend.
That's my friend.
There is no way that if CDB was with a guy and I spot that guy doing a madness, I will even call, I'll call her cab to come to that place.
I'm telling
right
you,
there.
No, either me, I, people have asked me this question, same time. If you saw your friend's match, I'll FaceTime her. 100%. Look at what your man is doing in, on the
outside.
I'll
even go and sit with them. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
What's good?
Here's your girlfriend.
Hey, person
on the phone.
That's not your girlfriend. How
yeah,
are you?
You have to be a snitch.
Is this your sister?
Embrace it.
Is this your cousin?
Embrace it. No, I don't even have all these questions. It's just simple. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Okay, deal with
Who's
it.
This?
What you
yeah,
will.
Deal with that.
Do with it what you will. 100%. I think we need to start really embracing what it means to be in somebody's community.
A snitch.
Literally. Literally, it means
we need to remove the negative connotations of snitching.
Get rid of it.
It's information presenting.
It's snitching.
It is sharing information that we've been privy to.
There we go.
And allowing you back
being
your
a
agency. Being a witness. Testifying.
Being a witness.
We've been called by the Lord to
testify. Did it not say that by their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, they overcame?
There are much things to overcome. There are much things to overcome. But no, like when we say my sister's keeper, it is unfortunate that we are, you know, the reality is that we are often going to find ourselves in these situations. But what is important is that sisterhood is kept.
Facts.
Like, especially in situations where our sisters are often isolated or put in a sticky situation, it now becomes our priority to ensure the safety of our sisters in those situations. Yeah. It is essential for us, especially when... It can be difficult though, because there are sometimes our sisters cannot see unsafe situations for themselves.
Yeah, of course.
And of course that will require a level of nuance, a level of tenderness in the way that we approach it. But our priority is always the safety of our sisters, even when they cannot see it for themselves.
Extract the hostage.
We coming like Call of Duty. We have a mission impossible right now, but with my God, things are possible. It is done with tenderness, prefaced with one of my favorite phrases, sis, I love you. I care for you. And I am saying this from that perspective. You must pack your bags and leave. I have called a taxi outside because this man is XYZ. At least give them the information. And then they can make the decision. Yeah. It can be quite difficult because sometimes, and it's something that we talk about in our book, right? Where it's so tempting for us to dibble dabble in situations directly.
Yeah.
And there will be some situations where it makes sense for you to dibble dabble directly and actually save your friend.
Yeah.
And in some situations, it is a case of presenting the information and allowing your friend to make the decisions. And to some extent, supporting them through other means, not necessarily their decision, but supporting them as much and as best as you can, and ensuring that you are part of that ecosystem. But really understanding that you have to be part of that ecosystem, and you can't operate in isolation. Like when we think of a plant growing, it's not just the water that allows it to grow. It's also ensuring that the soil actually has the adequate nutrients. So I think for us, it's understanding I can be a part of that ecosystem. And in some instances, I can be the part in, you know, causing that plant to grow, but also knowing when to step back and understanding that there are other parts of that ecosystem that need to be a bit more foregrounded in order for that person to blossom.
And sometimes what stops plants growing is the weeds that are growing to choke them out, and someone needs to come along and cut
weed
them off.
Killer. Listen,
cut it off.
Listen, one thing about it, it really makes me think of my mom. Shout out to my mom, because my mom does not tolerate like actual weeds. Like in my parents' house, like in the front, we have like stones and stuff like that grow over like a soil bed. And whenever there is like an ounce of a weed, my mom said, weed killer. She comes with the full like suit, risk assessment suit. Baby's got the scarf and everything. And she will spend her time removing and plucking the weeds. She'll be out here blasting music in the front. She'll be calling me and my sisters and my brother, like, bring me all the tools that we need to remove these weeds. And I think that is such a beautiful image as to how we should deal with weeds in our community.
Literally.
The moment you spot them growing,
don't tolerate
them out and call the people that you need to also remove it.
Early days, just, I don't like that. The way you spoke to me, as for that, it's not going to be able to continue. I can't even lie to you.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't want it.
I don't like the way that it looks. And I'm going to remove it.
And the more you put your foot down in these situations, you will, especially the earlier you do it, you will find that the people who want to persist in their nonsense will leave.
They have to.
They'll call you difficult. They'll call you, okay, no worries. Bye.
I'm going.
No worries. If you don't like it, then you've got to go. And no one's saying be deliberately rude or obnoxious or anything, but just be assertive, be directive, be confident. And don't take nobody's BS. I don't. Kill it. That era is R.I.P. to the girl you used to see.
Don't bring up Rita with
her days are over.
She's gone.
Hallelujah. It's a prophetic melody for this season.
You know what? A woman before her time.
I'm telling you now.
You know what it also makes me think of? Do you remember that whole campaign around colds? Catch it, bin it, kill it.
Catch it, bin it, kill it.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. Catch it,
bin it, kill it.
Bin it, and it's dead.
I'm telling you, prophetic anthems.
I'm telling you,
prophetic anthems.
No, but guys, honestly, that is too funny. You have to catch it, bin it, and kill it. It's emphasis over. On the kill. Kill it.
Oh, sister, any toxicity in your life right now, put an end to it. Put an end to it. Whether it means ejecting a person, having a very, very hard conversation.
When you say ejecting a person, I'm just thinking of like, yeah, you know, like in space, in the rocket ship, when they just eject someone out into the...
No, because some people, it can't be a gentle phase.
No, 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 you have to go.
Open the door.
You have to go.
Open the door.
When you track
someone. Open the...
Don't get me started on that scene from Prison Break.
Guys, I need to. It wasn't long to find the episode. It's before they actually break out, but the way that man's.
I'm actually going to search for it. We need to find it.
Give me that burger. That's what you need to do. That's how fast you need to grab your destiny.
If you're not giving me useful information.
Give me that burger back. That's how we need to snatch back our destinies and our safety and our peace of mind. The enemy has been trying to eat for free. You've been trying to eat for free.
It's the way that he was munching that and he clamped.
He was so comfortable
said,
as well.
That burger.
Yeah, but that boy went and got information, didn't 110%. He? There you go.
He took the shake and everything.
Exactly. So sometimes when you do things drastically, people change. And if they don't, then you've got your burger back.
You got your. That's true.
There you go.
It may be half eaten, but baby, now you eat it.
So hallelujah.
Glory be. No, but sisters, no. We genuinely want you to uproot toxicity in your life, especially when it comes in the manifestation of a person. If there's one thing that we often see in this life, before God sends his best, the enemy will always send a little
test. His own. Send a little test.
A little test, a little tempter. And sometimes the tests be real big. You ever met someone and thought, ooh, you're a test?
100%.
You are a challenge 100%. To be over. You are a weed, unfortunately, in this season.
Yeah.
But not my weed.
Not longer. Not around that anymore. Mm-mm. Well, sisters, as much as we've joked and stuff, and some of you don't actually like when we're talking about serious stuff and we joke and stuff like that. It's our personality types. We're talking about it in therapy or whatever. But also, in all seriousness, that toxicity in your life is not helping you. Number one. Number two, your safety is paramount and we need you to put it as a priority above other people's feelings, above whether your own guilt, above other people's expectations and pressures. We need you to put your safety, your peace of mind, your well-being first. And that's all that we have to say. We come in peace, we leave you in peace.
That's it, man.
That's it.
We want you to be in peace and not pieces.
There we go.
Picking up pieces. So, uproot.
Definitely follow us on all social media platforms.
To stay peaceful. Because this is a peaceful space we are trying to create.
Daily reminders of the fact that you're just a baby girl.
Just a baby girl.
You're a delicate flower. You know? You can follow my best friend at Renee Kapuku, and you can also follow myself at CD. Watching.
And of course, if you want more tips, tricks, if you want to just be up to date as it pertains to everything TMS, to be part of that community, that system, you got to sign up to the newsletter for that breaking news. www.tomysisters.com, and you can be a part of the sisterhood. Sisters, we love you, we care about you, we're praying for you, and we also pray that all people that have manifested as a form of toxicity will be uprooted from your life. And in the meantime, please keep glowing and growing.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.